Well, my son gets than yours. My son's invited to the sleepover. Where's yours?
Ugh, Mike, editor.
I don't want him going down. I don't want him doing that. I don't want him doing it.
Dad, I want to be like you.
No, son. Don't do it.
No. What's going to happen?
Don't do it, son.
Late at night, you're going to walk past this room. You see light like coming through the bottom of the door. And you're knocking on it. Hey, what are you doing there?
Nothing.
He's watching porn.
No. Right?
Is that a timeline?
Is that a sequence? Here, I'll close it out now. Did you use hotkeys?
How long you been doing this?
Huh? Cause I don't even know that.
Oh my god, my own son reduced to this.
Oh my god. Oh my god, what have you been making? Do you have your own YouTube channel? Alright, here we go. Alright. Alright, we're going in. Gonna go in 10 seconds.
Alright, get a little swig if you want.
Yep. Alright, coming in. 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I'm your host, Anthony King, and of course with me is my co-host,
Agent G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards.
Fuck, I panicked.
Are you panicked? No tap yet? You could use your finger, man.
I know. And then I tried thinking, I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to think of something else to say.
Just spaced out blankly right in the camera.
I fucked up the camera. Okay, we're good.
You're good.
Just smack the shit out of it.
Just knock it right off of the floor. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good, man.
Yeah.
We're getting into the waves at the end of summer where it's like you have like the week of cold and then the week of hot and then starts getting cool and starts getting hot.
I actually got to have a blanket on my lap this morning.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, tis a bit cool in this apartment.
Nice, man. But you know what's going to be crazy going on? This film news, what's happening this week, because holy shit, a lot is happening.
Mm.
So first what we have here, Disney is dropping the arbitration with the lawsuit against them for the allergy, the woman who died from an allergy. So now they're actually agreeing for the wrongful death to allow this to be settled out in court.
Yep.
Now, they got huge
pushback.
Huge pushback for the whole thing regarding Disney Plus and their terms of service where you can't even sue them perpetually for anything. So I think I felt like there was something where like they didn't want people to know that and it became out in the public like, oh fuck, we really got to backpedal now. Like, who's the stupid fucking ass lawyer who brought this to everyone's attention?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they intended to for some smaller stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, a sprained ankle at the theme park you know, something like that. But
a death?
A death is like, no, Berk. You can't get away from this.
Yeah, you really can't.
Mm-hmm. That's a standard wrongful death suit.
And the thing is, like, this is another major company in this last year alone who got hit big by something that happened with their terms of service. Adobe was another one.
Yep.
It's like we're now starting to look at these companies and those 6-8 pages for their terms of service, and we're really looking at those contracts now.
I mean, not only Adobe, but more recent the last 2 years with social media companies,
mm-hmm.
where they actually start bringing up on what exactly is, you know, when you sign up, what are they allowed to do? And like TikTok came out, like they're allowed to copy your keystrokes.
Yeah.
They have other companies saying they're allowed to go through your photos, through your call logs, you know. So I think in the last 2-3 years, everyone's starting like, okay, we need to read these, you know, 10-page, you know, things that automatically go to the bottom, says, you know, agree.
These terms and agreements.
Now, do you think like federal government or like state, local, like governments are going to actually start looking at these companies like, all right, we need to actually do a deep dive at your terms of service and see if you're breaking any laws? Do you think this is going to open up big? Because now this is like I said, in the last 2-3 years, there's so many companies who are getting out in trouble because of their term of service, what they're putting in
really,
there.
Well, it's not really terms. It's not really in trouble with, you know, with the government itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's in trouble with the public. Mm-hmm. The public finding out that there are some hidden things in there, like finding out that, you know, a game you bought online, technically you don't actually buy it. Mm-hmm. You're renting it for a from their server, and once it's gone, it's gone.
But Adobe is the first company who is being looked at by the FTC and sued by them because of their TOS.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just, you know,
like, that's the start. Do you think that on that level, it's going to start progressing with more companies? Like, all right, or do you think it's still going to keep it civil with like more civil lawsuits?
I think more civil lawsuits. Mm-hmm. It's some, I mean, unless a company's really, you know, egregious with like, the only reason they got caught is because of the cancellation fees. That's it.
Yeah.
And most companies are not doing that, what they're doing.
No, they got caught not because of the cancellation fees. They first got caught with the AI.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Remember, the AI was setting up the cancellation fees was the nail in the coffin. Because now it's like, all right, not only you got in trouble for this AI and telling people now they have to force their assets for your AI generated learning to use, now you're also in trouble with these cancellation fees because now you're locking people in and holding them hostage. So that was like a double whammy that forced the FTC to investigate them because that's two in the same year. That was like two in the same month.
Yeah. I think that would. The way I like to kind of maybe think about that is that maybe they heard about the terms and agreements about the AI, mm-hmm. and they were like, oh, no, fuck that. We're going to cancel. And then they saw the fee of how much it would cost to cancel, and then that mixed with the cancellation fee and the AI coming out together. It was just like, whoa, shit, this is like one and the same. And that's what probably what the FTC was probably kind of looking at a little bit more like. About the cancellation.
Yeah. And then when it comes to Disney, remember, Disney in the last couple of years has been beefing with politicians and local governments. It only takes like DeSantis, oh, we're going to look into your Disney Plus now, terms of service. And they could legally do that.
Yes.
Because it is offered in that state.
Yes.
So what's stopping any one person who's having big beef with the big mouse and like, hey, we're going to start looking into your terms of service. We're going to start looking into your stuff. And
I'm pretty sure at this point, everyone, like, there have been groups already going through every single line for line.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things. It was one of those lines where it seems so like it didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only like in legal terms, if you really understood the situation, that's when you know,
it'll actually make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of something to pull off to where it's like, well, technically you can try to sue us. However, and then it's like, but back in 2019 and then put out some legal, like legal bullshit line. And then saying like, oh, yeah, and this covers over that. And the media backlash of that was so intense.
Yeah.
That I think that by taking this to court, and then one of them even had a quote about, like, I bet the Disney Experiences chairman had a quote about it, about why they were going to waive the arbitration. But I think overall is that by taking this to court, it kind of brings in under the microscope of the terms and agreements about, like, no legal actions against any what was the terminology of, like, attributes or any sort of legal attributes of Disney or something like that?
Like, any issues or, like, basically any issues you have with Disney cannot be settled in court. It has to go through arbitration.
Yeah.
So your lawyers, my lawyers have to talk it out
privately.
That's the only way you can handle stuff with us.
But what was the wording that was used in the Disney Plus terms?
Oh, I forgot exactly what was the exact wording. It was wording.
like free from liability from Disney and all affiliates.
Something like that. Something like that, yeah.
Like some sort of terminology like that. Mm. And the fact that they tried to throw that as a way to be like, no, we're, you can't be, that's not, we're not liable for that. You agree to it in 2019 for the free Disney Plus, you know, free trial subscription, you know, when it kind of came out, that's on you. And then it immediately backlashed in the last, like, week and a half.
I mean, same thing not that long happened with, like, American Airlines. Remember with them, with a girl who was being videotaped in the bathroom?
Yeah.
And then that stupid
legal counsel?
Yeah, like, their legal counsel basically stated, like, oh, that's the girl's fault. She should have known there's a camera. Like, and American Airlines immediately fired that firm from them. Like, you see the backlash? Like, they are quick to respond. You know for a fact, like, it's not these companies themselves who are making these claims. They hire lawyers to protect them, but sometimes these lawyers go way too far.
Yeah. And this was an example.
That was an extreme example.
Do you want to read the quote that the Disney Experiences chairman, Joss D'Amaro, said in a statement?
Yeah, say that, then we're going to go to the next one. Yeah.
He said, it's just funny of the wording that he used. He was saying that At Disney, we strive to put humanity above all considerations. Okay. All right, just that alone. With such a unique circumstances as the ones in this case, we believe the situation warrants a sensitive approach to expedite a resolution for the family who have experienced such a painful loss. As such, we've decided to waive our right to arbitration and have the matter proceed in court. You fucker.
All right, so we're going to move over to our next film news. What we have here, Amazon sets premiere date for video game anthology Secret Level, which just dropped its first teaser. You guys just saw it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about it?
For teasers, not bad, actually.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. And the fact that once I saw kind of a little bit above it, I was like, okay, whatever. And then saw who's at the helm of the project, who the studio is, the same people that did, what was it, Love, Death, Robots?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm actually very excited because Love, Death, Robots does an exceptionally well job with their 3D animation.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense that it would work in this type of realm, especially when you're working with video game characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just fits well.
Mm-hmm.
It melds well together.
So, and here in this, it's going to be 15 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And did they say exactly, did they announce what all the episodes are going to encompass? Because there is going to be some Sony projects. We saw like some Game of Thrones, God of War stuff.
Yes.
Go for it.
Okay, I have a couple different ones. Mm-hmm. Well, I found a list right here. Armored Core, which is like a mech.
I love Armored Core, man. That's a classic.
Yeah. It's a mech battle, and it's going to be starring Keanu Reeves on that one.
Okay.
Because it showed his face for that one brief second, but it's there.
Okay.
Concord.
Mm-hmm.
Concord, which was a PC game and on its PS5 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Crossfire, which is like a SWAT-style
mm-hmm.
game. Dungeons & Dragons.
Everyone knows that one.
Yeah.
Exodus.
I know that one.
Yeah.
I've actually kind of wanted to try that one.
Honor of Kings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's see. Mega Man.
Yep. Of course, you got to have Mega Man, yeah.
New World Antrim.
Okay.
Outer Worlds 2.
Okay, Outer Worlds, yeah.
Pac-Man, which that's what I'm most interested in because like
really,
right?
I gotta see what that one's about. the one that's which got me kind of interested was PlayStation Studios God of War and Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima, yes.
Which I'm not sure if they're each getting the individual episodes or if they're gonna be on the same episode with two short styles.
I'm a little bit more excited for Unreal Tournament.
Yes.
See, I'm more
Unreal Tournament.
I like the Unreal Tournament, but I'm really excited for the Warhammer, man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, that one looks
for sure.
Warhammer, the mystery game. Yeah, it's right there.
And Sifu.
The one named Spelunky.
Mm.
Don't know what that one is.
But so they haven't announced if each and every one of these individual titles is going to be its own full episode or it's going to be multiple episode, like multiple like anthologies or sorry, like series per episode.
It looks like it's a 15 episodes,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like about 15, projects.
Got it.
So it looks like they're all going to get their individual, some are live action, some are animated.
Got it.
But as well, it looks like they might be doing, it seems more like they're planning out like this might be the test.
The test for our actual future live action plans, because they still announced that they're going to do a live action Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes.
Live action God of War. Yes. So they're still going to have their own personal live action titles, just like they did with, what's the most recent one they did? The big popular one. For a TV show, HBO Max.
Oh,
Last of Us.
Yeah. There you go. Last of Us.
The teaser for that one was just dropped.
Yeah, so the success from that, they're on board, like, this can work, but remember, that was like a one thing off. They want to make sure it's not a one-off.
Well, you got that one, and you also got Fallout.
Oh, that's true. Fallout, too.
Yeah.
But that's a different...
Even though a different studio, premise of, like, a video game
show. Video game show that can actually do well. Yeah.
Yes. So that, like, this could prove it, and like I said, I do see some of these, like, they're trying out for like for instance, Armored Core.
Mm-hmm.
They could be trying to push for like a full blown a series out of this thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Because it's in live action, live action mech.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think it's live action. They haven't really showed too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have only shown like just the trailer.
Trailers and teasers of like each individual short, like just little snippets.
Mm-hmm.
But something like Crossfire, which looks like a straight up action SWAT.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I'm actually excited for that. And the release date, they said, was December 10th.
Yes.
This
yes.
year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited. So that's going to be coming out on Amazon Prime. All right, hitting our last bit of film news before we hit our main topic. Megalopolis trailer was released and immediately pulled from Lionsgate because it had fake critic quotes that were AI generated.
Okay, this is, it's just weird.
This is a weird one. This is a really weird one. So how did this come about? How did this happen?
So the beginning of the trailer, mm-hmm. it shows, it's kind of interesting. It's not only just a trailer for the movie of Francis Ford Coppola's mm-hmm. Megalopolis, but it's also a call out as well as to his credibility as an artist. Mm-hmm. You know, it's opened up with these random quotes from like, critics from different magazine articles like the New Yorker and Rolling Stones, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And they're all saying like trashed quotes about his past movies.
So they're just like giving bad reviews and trashing his old films, right?
Yes. But the whole entire thing is that the trashing of his old films are ones that are critically acclaimed cinematic masterpieces like The Godfather, Godfather 2, mm-hmm. Apocalypse just, Now.
Yeah.
Like all these ones are being like you had one that was for The Godfather, as says right there, mm-hmm. saying that that it was
diminished by its artsiness.
Artsiness, yes, by appalling kale. Mm-hmm. However, the problem with that is that she never said that.
Mm.
She never said any of these, and it took actually a journalist from The Vulture. I actually have that one too here.
Okay,
and it's a journalist by the name of Bilge Abiri. And he's the one who went and did just a little bit of digging, a little bit of journalism.
Just a little bit.
Just a smidge. Just across to see if these were actual critic notes of the movies. Because mm-hmm. it shows the titles
yeah,
of it
yeah.
behind
it, shows
it as
it. Yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can even see it right there. Like, it's diminished by its artsiness. Pauline Kael, The New Yorker, saying like, see, you bashed on me and look how wrong you were. Mm-hmm. Godfather is a fucking masterpiece. And this guy found out like, yeah, she never said that at all. She never said anything about that. If anything, she praised the movie of The Godfather.
Okay.
Yeah. The exact quote that she had, she actually totally adored both The Godfather and Godfather Part 2, saying that she lavishly praised the adaptation and the direction and the performances and said as the whole epic, this is a bicentennial picture that doesn't insult the intelligence. It's an epic vision of the corruption of America. This was the actual quote for The Godfather in praise of it.
Mm.
And yet on this one for Megalopolis, it's showing that she's trashing on it, saying that it was shit. And there was multiple other quotes as well, such as like for Apocalypse Now, saying that Vincent Canby, if I'm pronouncing that right?
I think so,
sorry
yeah.
if I'm ruining it. Vincent Canby quoted saying, hollow at its core. However, he was, mixed about the film. Rex Reed did, in fact, pretty much hate Apocalypse Now. Mm-hmm. But his quote from this trailer doesn't appear in the review either. So it's saying that there's like a weird mishmash of direct quotes from critics, but they're wrong critic, like they're,
so it's like it's taking the quotes from one critic and applying the name from a different critic onto that quote.
Yes, they're ChatGPT created critics.
Yeah.
Critic quotes,
got it.
And they're using the names and the air and the journal that they come from for these quotes.
So here's my thing. How hard would it have been for them just to find old tabloids of their films when they release, pulled out negative reviews and used that?
None, because even right here, it's showing that there was an actual critic saying right here, Rex Reed, mm-hmm. saying he did, in fact, pretty much hate Apocalypse Now, but saying that his quote from this trailer doesn't appear in this review either. And instead, it's somebody else's, Roger Ebert's, mostly positive review of Bram Stoker's Dracula that does not, and it doesn't include a triumph of style over substance. Instead, it says, this movie is an exercise in feverish excess, and for that, if for little else, I enjoyed it. So that was the actual direct quote.
Okay.
But that you had people
who were actually shitting on the
movie.
Who
were actually shitting on the actual movie.
That you could
have
used that.
That you could have used. Yes, exactly.
I don't know. Do you think that's just laziness? Like
that's pure laziness. That's 100% pure laziness.
No, but the thing is, who do you blame? Is this going to be all on Coppola's, or do you blame the marketing team?
Mike, you got the answer for that one.
I got the answer. It's the marketing consultant.
Of course. It's always the marketing consultant.
They even named out the person, too.
They named him first and last name.
Yeah.
Saying, from the Variety website, even calling it, you know, actually, do you even have that as well?
What?
Oh, no, I already showed it at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I showed the name of the title of the article.
Yeah.
But yes, it was by a name named Eddie Egan. At the top of the article, the marketing consultant who came up with the trailer and included the fake quotes from famous critics.
Damn.
The whole entire quotes were AI generated. They were all false quotes. None of these ones were actual words that were cited by the actual critics.
Yeah. Because how often do you hear like, oh, this movie was ruined because of the trailer. This movie was ruined by a trailer. But at the same time, it's never the people who made the movie make the trailers. Remember all the way back with Terminator 2 when that came out?
Yeah.
Remember how pissed Cameron was because they spoiled shit?
Oh, yes.
That should have never been spoiled.
Yeah.
So there's always been a battle between marketing teams who do trailers and the actual people who create the films.
Yes.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's unfortunate like the people who make the films are going to get the blame for it.
Yes. Yeah.
Which they quickly separate themselves from
the
situation and possibly blacklisted the dude by doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Saying that when Variety prompted AI service ChatGPT to provide negative criticism about Coppola's work from well-known reviewers, the responses provided were strikingly similar to the quotes included in the trailer. Like, so
they could have even done a better job of just making shit up with a fake name.
So
you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like,
yes. But okay. But I have another question to this as well. Was this all him on his own, or was this requested from the studio to figure something out to how to promote this movie even more?
I want to say maybe a mix.
Because we know that, unfortunately, this is supposed to be his grand masterpiece, or what do you call it? His
magnus opus?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be his great one. It's supposed to be the final thing. This is supposed to be everything. And he even sunk, what, 130 mil into it?
120, yeah.
120
yeah.
mil. So he's trying to put it up on a pedestal and put it up there. So how much was it him, the studio, producers?
Well, it could have been, unfortunately, the miscommunication between vague idealism, like, hey, this is a big movie. I need you to visualize big. And that's all he tells them. And he's like, okay, well, I got to figure something out. Let's just get some, well, people's crushed. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because he gave them such a vague example of what he wants, this dude just rant rampant and just try to do something on his own. And that does happen a lot. Yes. That's like the biggest thing that usually happens is being very too vague with what you want and what your vision for this trailer should be.
Mm. Yes.
But I mean,
but at the same time, we shouldn't be using AI to.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Say, so that's all like, on Eddie's fault. That's all his.
That's completely like I can Google right now all the negative reviews for Apocalypse Now. It's that fucking easy.
I know.
No excuse for this.
Yeah, no, it's no like, excuse for that part.
If anything, it was more work trying to prompt ChatGPT, hey, context. Like, you're a critic, and you're writing a bad review. Like, that's just so much more extra work.
I know.
It's just stupid.
It's so, really stupid.
So, yes, they parted ways. They immediately fired that guy. And, yeah, so... And they immediately pulled the trailer off of
online. Lionsgate, yeah.
But not before anybody else were able to
get a copy of that and then re-upload. Like, you can still get it on IGN and stuff like that from their website. Yeah. So, yeah. All right. So, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsor. And when we get back, we're going to cover our main topic tonight. So, stay tuned. We'll be right back to you guys. And we are back. Covering over our main topic tonight. This is pretty interesting because I first started off with one news article we got, which was Warner Brothers was paying a lot of money to open up their new studio in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
$8.5 billion exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And that desperate ploy for them to really stretch out outside of California really made me thought about what other studios were doing that. And this is big because a lot of studios are leaving California and trying to open other new studios outside.
Yeah.
Some even outside the country.
I got at least Disney, Sony, Warner Brothers, and Universal Pictures, to name off a few.
Oh, yeah. Lionsgate. And even got the smaller studios, too. Hangar 2, Hangar 3, Borden Studios, Assembly Studios. Like, a lot of... it's more, right now, of the smaller independent studios, the very small film production groups. Mm-hmm. Those are leaving because, right now, the tax incentives in California is not worth it.
Dude, I mean, we covered it, like, two, three weeks ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We brought up the fees, mm-hmm. and, dude, it's... hell no, it's not worth it.
But this is big now that you're watching the major studios. The big five are even starting to look outside of California for better. Georgia right now is set.
Yes.
They have the best tax incentives for any type of film commission in the state, like in the U.S. right now.
Yeah. Some of them were offered pretty hefty ones too.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it was like what, like 30%? They were offered 30% off or something like that?
Yeah, so it offers up to 30% in transferable tax credits on a film and TV production cost, plus an additional 10% increase on base tax credit.
So basically, like, part of their bill is being...
almost half. Yeah. 40%, dude.
So 40% of their movie budget
is being billed. Yeah, it's being taken care of by the state in return to... yeah, I know. That's insane.
Dude, how do the... how do the people of Georgia feel about that, of Atlanta?
Brings a lot more money.
Yeah.
A lot more jobs.
But does that mean they'd be taxed higher?
No.
No.
No?
No.
Where'd that money coming from then?
It's probably already in the reserves.
The one that was initially reserved for the police mm-hmm. town?
Yeah. These are gambled bets, what they usually do. So what they do is like... yeah, yeah, I got that.
It just hurt.
What they usually do, it's like, hey, we're a big company. We're a big studio. If you give us good incentives and good tax breaks, we're bringing more people into your state to employ jobs so you can get more taxes out of those people. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. More people you introduce to the state, the more taxes you can pull out of. So that is their goal, is they're trying to bring work over there, and that's the big incentives. When you bring a film production studio over to any state, that's what, how many thousands of jobs right there by itself? You're opening up thousands of jobs. So that's why states like that are willing to foot the bill or part of the bill on big projects like that. As long as they know that they're going to continue making work, continue making big money, and continue employing a lot of people.
Now, that all sounds well and good, but what does that mean for the people that are in the industry here in California?
Well, the thing is, things need to change here in California in the first place with the local government and the tax credits for everything going on with the film commission. The film commission first needs to update their guidelines and what they're going to give back. They need to go back to being the best place for film studios to work at, which you got to have the higher tax breaks.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, right now, there's the war on, you know, big company, big rich people. So tax them the highest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we can get the most money out of those rich people. The problem is, you know, of course, they're going to bounce out and leave.
Yeah.
So that's what's hurting us in California right now. The more studios that leave, the more they're going to probably try to justify increasing tax rates to make up for the loss of income we got from Hollywood. That might be a thing that would happen. Another thing is people like us who are trying to film here, it's going to be a lot harder because everyone's probably going to jack up the prices for the first like year or two to make up for the loss of all these studios leaving. Eventually they're going to drop it and become dirt cheap, but that's not going to be anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, for some reason, when you have a bunch of exodus of people leaving, you will think, oh, we need to lower things so it could be affordable for them to come back. But no, their first quick response is, we need to jack everything up to recover the loss.
Yeah.
Now, eventually, like I said, 2-3 years, when they're going to be hitting loss after loss after loss annually, they're going to decrease the prices again. But we would hope that it'll be at a point where their tax incentives can be equally matching Georgia. It needs to, or better. That's the only way it can work out. Because we're getting job openings. We're getting a lot of job openings here, but it's shit. It's a lot of shit positions, a lot of shit jobs, and a lot of stuff that seems like it's just going to be part-time.
Yeah, it's not only that, but it's past the actual film industry itself, but housing in California.
Yeah, yeah.
It's especially in LA. In LA,
the medium home is $1 million.
Yes.
That's insane.
Renting, you're spending 2-3 G's a month.
Yeah.
For a decent apartment.
A studio. No, I've seen studios that are going for $3,300 a month.
Dude, studios used to be the cheap ones.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? That's ridiculous.
So there's too many variable factors right now hitting LA that it's just, it's not feasible and it's not profitable staying there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of companies are moving out to other states that's going to be profitable.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, would it retain its profitability? That's questionable. Georgia, I could see Georgia being another big powerhouse for film studios.
Mm-hmm.
That works. New Mexico, no. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's certain states it's going to work out. There's certain states it's not going
to
work.
Because I've seen a couple of studios on this list. A couple of them actually moving out to Ohio.
Yeah. Ohio's another one, too.
Which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Some out to New York.
New
Canada.
York. Yeah. So New York right now, they are in the process of trying to rearrange and fix their tax incentives for companies. So they're already trying to make the fixes because they were number two for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actively working, trying to bring films back over there. I don't see any incentives over here right now in California.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's just like, because like I said, it's housing. It's freaking every
too
little.
Too many factors, yeah.
Every little damn fee.
Homelessness,
fee
yeah.
Homelessness. Like I said, actually, big one, actually, to me, is the big ones, the fees for every stupid little thing you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to use a street, if you want to use the... I believe you even got to pay for, you know, if you want to use the certain businesses, you know what, you know, you have to pay for what's it called? The use for their names.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So you got that on top of that. If you want to use the city, what's it called? The department, that one big LA building, I forgot what it's called. You know what I'm talking about, right?
It's the, damn it. I know.
Not the train station, but
it's like a hotel, isn't it?
Yes, but even like the Roosevelt, like that, you got to pay to use those things too.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm trying to make is that we have too many damn fees for
every little thing. Every little line. You think you're gonna go and just get your paperwork and it's gonna be like $150, $200 just for to get your license and everything and all like the contracts you want? No, the jacked up prices and every little fees ends up like for something you'll think would be $200, it ends up being like $1,500.
Yeah.
Because every single department, every person wants to have a cut out of your movie.
It just becomes too difficult.
Way too difficult.
Then I even looked up at one point studios you could rent out, mm-hmm. the warehouses. Even then, too, some of those companies, they charge up so much just to use them. They charge you not only for the space, but if you want to use the AC, if you want electricity, if you need water, if you need, you know, anything like that, if you need... grips, if they get, they'll rent you out a grip person, but they charge per person per hour.
Some even fucking charge you for the locks on the locker to keep your equipment there,
dude. See, it just becomes like a nickel and dime to see how much you can squeeze out of the artist.
And that's and one thing I've always been complaining and bitching. Like, no film should cost $250 million.
Yeah.
That's outrageous. And that's what happens when everyone wants to get their piece of the pie.
And now that pie is leaving.
Yeah.
And that's when it's considered $10 million is considered low budget. $5 million is considered low budget.
Dude, $5 million is crazy low budget.
It's considered, but I mean, for let's say independent.
Yeah.
What about independent? They don't got $5 million lying around.
No, they don't.
But
no.
Yet again, we're seeing other studios get away with that. But think about that. Godzilla X King Kong, that's a $200 million plus film.
Yeah.
Godzilla, the fucking Zero, $15 million.
Yeah.
Both equally comparable massive visual effects done on those.
Except one got an Oscar.
The $15 million
one. $15 million one.
So it could just show you don't need to pay these outrageous prices to create a blockbuster movie.
Yeah.
But they are stuck still on those old ways because, like I said, there's a line item and there's a price for everything.
Mm-hmm. It just makes it incredibly difficult to want to stay here.
Yeah.
And then all the jobs going along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the talent that was once here that was going from maybe 3/4 the job market is now dropped to 1/4 the job market.
Yeah.
Because the amount of jobs that are leaving because it's too expensive to make movies here.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
It's like at the end of the day, these people, all they want to do is just make movies and make a living off of it.
That's it.
It's not even trying to get rich. Most of these people aren't even trying to get rich, famous, or anything. It's just most of these people, Remember, there's hundreds of names in the credits of every movie you see.
Yeah.
Most of those people make really shit money from doing this.
All right.
But they do it because they love it.
All right. Here's just a reference as for, because all these studios are going to Vegas, mm-hmm. right? They're planning to go to Vegas to build, or at least they're trying to right now.
A lot of them going to Vegas. A lot of them going to New York, Georgia, all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now, I compared LA. I went to Zillow and just compared the apartments for LA to Vegas. Mm-hmm. LA, you'll spend roughly around $17,000 to $2,000 for a 400 square foot apartment.
Damn.
400
square foot.
That's nothing.
Tiny.
That's tiny as hell. And like I said, the 15 to 17 to 2000 is considered low end. And I'm talking about in the ghetto as hell too. 15 is in the ghetto.
God.
Well, in Vegas, North Vegas, I found one apartment for, let's see right here, $750 a month for 400 square feet. Or if you want something, that's a studio apartment, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you want something nicer, you could probably have one here for like a really nice one. I'm talking about like a nice studio for about $1,200.
Yeah, I was going to say $1,200.
Anyway. $1,200 gets you about 600 square feet. And that's, I'm talking about, it's just studio, not even a regular apartment.
Wow. Yeah.
You could probably get a regular apartment for about 12, you know, two bedroom.
Dude, I could afford that on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. That's terrible.
That's the price difference.
Oh, there you go. So $1,100 for a two bedroom square, 800 square feet.
$1,100.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
$1,100.
$1,100.
I'm paying $2,300 for a one bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the big difference.
So by these studios moving out there, of course they're gonna push people like, well, I could, you know, make good decent money at a studio and have a, you know, a decent place to live as well.
Mm-hmm. You can't do that in LA.
No. It's impossible.
Yeah, because the common thing you hear about in LA, unfortunately, in our industry, is you have people, you know, rooming up two, three people to an apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the most common thing, is like people can't afford houses or living on their own, so everyone has like a roommate situation. It's insane.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is that it's a little bit off topic, mm-hmm. but a lot of studios, you ever when you're driving through or past studios, there are some small neighborhoods that are kind of connected to it, mm-hmm. a little bit of those. Mm-hmm. Those neighborhoods were initially created for crew members.
Yeah.
For cast and those that worked there. Mm-hmm. Like all of them were, they weren't the biggest, but they were roughly a good size for one, two person, like that. And it was built next door to the studio. So you can literally commute from your home to your work mm-hmm. on that. Those same houses are near impossible to buy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of those people either held on because they were never going to sell those because they got those at good prices at a good time. And a lot of those that are available, they're easily close to $1.2, $1.5 million. And I'm talking about like 1,400 square feet homes.
Yes. It's nothing.
That's nothing.
It's one bedroom, one bath.
Yeah.
Even if that. Not even a full bath.
Mm-hmm.
It's tiny as shit.
And they're going at those prices sometimes. It's insane.
That is now, a fucked up market.
Yeah. Now, again, this is slightly off topic as well, but I wonder if a studio could do this. Like, let's say Universal, someone, when they actually create the studio lot, mm-hmm. if they're able to purchase the side property as well, build housing, and actually rent it out to existing workers, and that's the condition. You have to work for them to be able to rent out that property. Or rent out those apartments or houses, whatever, maybe.
I feel like that would be so much more helpful.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
even if
not you sell it, but like rent it out only.
Yeah.
Like you'll get some slightly lower price than it'll be like on average around there.
Yeah.
But the main thing you have to work for the studio, and that's it. That's the only way you're going to actually be able to live there.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
You can make
they could do
back,
something like that.
You can make back part of that payroll that you just paid out.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would be so much more helpful.
Yeah. But do you think they're going to really invest into something like that?
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course, no,
they're
but.
They're fucking terrible.
No, but like I said, unfortunately, when the studio's moving out of California,
mm-hmm.
they're trying to invite people to go over there.
You need to have some incentive. You need to bring some type of incentive to get people back over here. I absolutely agree.
But even just look at these prices, well, people go like, yeah, I could work out there for Sony or Universal or whatever it is, and still get a, you know, decent apartment.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, come on, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys got anything else to say before we fully close out, man?
Well, kind of scary for the future now.
I mean, the biggest thing you got to remember is there's going to be a massive hike in oil prices. It's going to get chaotic, and then there's going to be a big downhill. There's going to be a calm, and usually during that calm, that's where all the small independent people start rising up. We're watching things get recycled over and reshuffled. Everyone just needs to wait where everything really hits hard so they can start reinventing themselves and start entering into the market.
So we just got to hold out.
Just got to hold out, man.
Like I said, Hollywood's no longer the place. It's going to be...
It's going to be everywhere. It's spreading out. So it's the one of the things like you no longer have to go all the way to Hollywood to produce content now for Hollywood. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it makes it more doable to film. But it's going to get chaotic and messy first because, of course, they're going to plant their feet and they're going to go out kicking, screaming until they can't have their way. And then they're going to have to readjust just like everyone else.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
It's going to get really crazy, definitely. But hopefully something good comes out of this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on your thought on tonight's topic. How you feel about all these film studios leaving California? Do you think it's a good thing? Do you think it's bad? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on our Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for our listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who like to watch our videos. For our audio listeners, you can find the Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before we fully close out, Mike Castle's last endings for you guys.
Yes, all the different ways that you can be able to listen to us, including all the ways that Anthony mentioned, as well as being able to watch us on YouTube at our YouTube website at youtube.com/TheRedBandPodcast. Head on over there so that you can be able to watch these episodes in live versions. And they usually air every Friday around 5 a.m. or just, you know, on Fridays, you know. So keep a lookout for it. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that notification button so that you can keep up with those episodes. Not to mention subscribing to our Patreon account. With our Patreon account, you can also watch a little bit of unedited versions, a little bit of some deleted scenes, a little bit of some I wouldn't say banned episodes, but not banned, but uncut,
yeah.
More uncut, you know, ones that we haven't aired. So consider heading over there, because more subscribers equals more content, and we want to keep doing this for you guys. And you know, if anybody wants to sponsor, that'd be really chill. That'd be really, like, really freaking cool. I mean, we're pretty dope. We've played 147 episodes. I mean, just check it out. You know, it's whatever, you know? So, like, what are we? But as well, again, listening to us on our also podcast apps, including Samsung Podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. Look for the Screaming Microphone. And that's all I got.
All right, guys. You heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.